And one of them is our heart or God's. What's working in my life? Is it me or God? Am I trusting and praising God, being obedient to Him? Or have I taken over the control of my own life, and am I doing what I want to do? Thank you, Jesus. And you know, sometimes it's a narrow line. And I'm going to use something that happened to me this week as an example of what I'm talking about. You know, I've told you time and time again that everything that happens, I look for an illustration of something God's doing in it. Everything that happens in our lives can point us to God and can be an example of what God's doing. And I want to start out with a section of Scripture in Hebrews. We're going to begin with verse 16. Or is it 15? It's 15. Chapter 10. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. Now keep that in mind. The Holy Spirit will witness to you. For after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord. "I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he added, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, first of all, I want to call your attention to verse 16, where he says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Now, we have an expression in Christianity. And what we say is this. We talk about giving our heart to the Lord. Have you given your heart to the Lord? Did you give your heart to the Lord? "I gave my heart to the Lord in such and such a time, such and such a place, on such and such a date." And we gave our heart to the Lord. Now, when we give our heart to the Lord, he says, "I'm going to do something in your heart." And in one place he said, "I'm going to remove the stony heart and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh." And nobody will have to say to his neighbor, "Know the Lord," for all will know the Lord because you'll have direct contact with him through the presence of his Spirit in our heart. Now, what happens in a general sense of the word is we become one with Jesus Christ. We give Him our heart, but we're supposed to give Him ourselves. Now, here's what I want to share with you. All of you know that last year in February, and I had some heart repaired, did some extensive things, and one of the things that they did was they put in a pacemaker. Now, I didn't understand as much of it then as I do now, and I probably don't everything I need. I don't understand everything I need to understand even now. But I do know that recently there's been some situations that I've experienced, some physical symptoms, and not being aware of what they are or were, it's kind of been struggling with. But I had an appointment Friday to see the heart rhythm specialist at the Heart Rhythm Center for Cardiovascular in Louisville. They're going to check out the pacemaker. Because, for one thing, last time they checked it out, it was using more energy than it's supposed to be using. It wasn't going to last as long as it's supposed to last. It's supposed to last about 7 years, and then they redo it, and the way this one's going, between three and four years is going to be. So anyway, we got up there, and they've got this equipment that they listen to it, and I'll tell you what, it'll tell them everything that's happened to you since the last time they listened to it. Not just generally speaking, but specific stuff. Like the time of day. And the day, like January the 16th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you had a glitch. Your heart skipped a beat or whatever. I mean, it's just incredible what the thing will do. And so anyway, the technician and the nurse practitioner that takes care of the pacemaker patients, they hooked me up, they did the tests, and they did very well, but we found out later that they're very self-controlled because they couldn't find the lead to the atrium. As far as what they could see, the wire to the top part of the heart from the pacemaker wasn't doing anything. So here we got a wire that's not working. At least they think it's not working. So they send me upstairs for an x-ray, trying to find out what's going on. And I'm thinking, okay, if they have to repair this, there's only one way they can repair it. They're going to have to cut it open, and they got to get in there and put that wire back. That's the only way they can do it. And so it was such an issue with them that they went and they got the main doctor, the one that had put the pacemaker in last year when I was up there, Dr. Mann. And they told him what was going on. He came in and he looked at the situation. He looked at the x-ray. He said, well, the x-ray shows it's fine. Now, what kind of situation we got here? So he comes in there, he looks at it and everything. He says, there's nothing wrong. But he said, I do remember this patient. He said, when we got ready to put that wire in, we couldn't get it in the normal place. So we had to shift it. And it took them about an hour and a half longer than it was normally supposed to take. And so the reason they couldn't find the wire is because they weren't looking in the right place. But he looked over the results of it and he said, I do see something and I want to change. And he adjusted the pacemaker. And the way that I understand it, and I can't be specific about it because I don't know that I understand the specifics of that nature or not. But the way it was set, the mode it was set in, and the way it was working, it was sharing the load with my own heart. It was set at a rate that my heart would do part of the work, and then if it needed help, it would kick the pacemaker in, and the pacemaker then would do its part. And he said, I am going to adjust this and put this completely on the pacemaker. And I'm going to see how it makes you feel. He said, then there won't be any, there won't be any surging. There won't be any, the blood flow through your heart will be a lot more, a lot better rhythm, a lot more steady. And he said, we'll just see. And he said, you should feel better about it. Should make you feel better. So they changed that. We walked out of the office. Now this is 5 minutes. We walked out of the office on the bottom floor in the basement. Have to go up to the first floor to get out of the building. Now, for the last couple of years, I've had this issue with stairs. If I got an elevator, I'm going to get in that elevator and use it. And if I got stairs to go up, those stairs and I are going to have some kind of a problem before I got up to the top or down to the bottom. It was just not something that I liked to do or even wanted to do because of physical condition. We came out of that office, walked out there, and I'm standing at the hallway, and Matthew was with us. And he ran over to the elevator and he said, I'm gonna beat you. I said, don't get on it yet. We gotta wait for Nana. She had gone somewhere she needed to go. And we were waiting for her to get back. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, what is this? What is going on? And I'm sitting there waiting for her. Matthew says, Matthew, I'm going up the steps. He said, well, I'm going up the elevator and I'll beat you. I said, well, don't go yet till Nana gets here. So we're standing there and something happened in my body and in my mind in that short a period of time of walking out of that office, and it couldn't have been more than 5 or 10 minutes. And Laverne said, are you going up the stairs? I said, yeah, I'm going up the stairs. I'm going to run up the stairs. And I did. And when I got up there, I was up there standing when the door opened on the elevator. And I didn't feel like I was going to die. And I wasn't standing there going, and I thought, this is almost unbelievable. And I don't need to tell them what I did yesterday, do I? But of course, we did all that, and we came home and Friday night, and I'm thinking, I said, hey, I'm fine. I said, you realize that this kind of activity over the past 2 years would have wiped me out? I would have been absolutely drained. And so then yesterday morning we got up and she said, help me put out those flowers that I bought. I said, okay. So I go out there early. Had to be early because we was done with everything by 10:30. So we go out there and we redo all of our flowers in our pots around the house. And I'm out there and I'm working and I'm getting hot. I mean, I'm sweating. I didn't have enough energy to sweat for the last couple of years. we got through that, and then I and Ricardo had planned on helping me put in some air conditioners, a couple of window units. And then, of course, he ended up in the hospital, and I still need to get those window units in. And so I said, well, I'm going to see about them. I went over to the basement and got them, and got Kaylin to help me. She picked the one up and carried it. I couldn't. I said, let's get a hold of this. She said, just step out of the way, Grandpa. I'll get it. Picked that thing up and walked around there. Said, where do you want it? I said, there in that window. Okay. She raised it up and put it in the window. But anyway, I had to do all the adjusting. I had to do all of that and out there and in the hot and all, and doing all that. And I got all that done. Then Laverne said, we need to leave at 11:30. So I ran in the house and I showered and got dressed. We went up and we picked up Granny and went to lunch. And then we had to go to pick up some stuff at Walmart. And then we had to get that. We had to bring some stuff back home, some medicine for Ricardo. And I got home about that time. So I'm doing all of this. And then when we get done with that, we've got to go to Lure Lodge for a baby shower. Friends over there having one at Lure Lodge. We felt like we should go. And so we get in the car after doing it, and we go over there, and we get done over there, and we come back, and it's 5 o'clock. Well, I hadn't got quite finished with what I wanted to do with the air conditioners, so I started working on them. Finished up putting tape around them, insulation around the edges, and that sort of thing. Finally, I got that done about 7. And I go in the house and sit down. And I'm amazed. I still have energy. I'm not drained. I'm not used to this. I'm used to just practically crawling in and sitting down in the chair. Now, in the midst of all of this, I realize something spiritual. When my body began to rely more on that pacemaker than it did on my own heart, I got stronger. And the Lord said, that's just the way it is with me, son. When you start relying on me more than your own heart, you're going to get stronger. And I thought about that, and I thought about the weakness that I had was from my own weakness. The strength came from what had been put in me. Our strength as Christians comes from what's put in us, not from what we generate from inside. And you see, that's why Paul could say, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because it's not my strength. And it is amazing. How long has it been since I had a gout pain? Since those stents were put in back the 1st of April. The increased blood flow has done something in my body. It's helped some symptoms and problems. So maybe, you know, in our lives, an increased blood flow of the blood of the Lamb will take care of some of the aches and pains of life that we experience. Now I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 14. But as you're going there, don't forget. I want you to remember and not forget the last thing that he said here in Hebrews in verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. Too often we don't consider him nobody but ourselves. Now let us consider one another for what purpose? In order to stir up love and good works. Now, if we consider one another, and it's in order to stir up love and good works, who's it going to stir up the love and good works in? One another. Me and whoever it is I consider. It'll be a mutual stirring up, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, friends, brothers and sisters, I see the day approaching. And so therefore, I am going to exhort you this morning. And I'm going to exhort you about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. How do we stir up love and good works? In one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Luke chapter 14. Verse 16. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. You know, this is interesting, and you see things, and I hadn't seen this before. But when I read that, I thought, you know, when the disciples were in the upper room, it says in the upper room, and they were all with one accord. You remember saying that in Acts 2? And they were all with one accord. And then I read this here, and it says, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. In other words, all of them had some reason or some excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. How many of you ever bought a piece of ground without ever seeing it? I mean, you know, if you heard there was a farm for sale, would you say, well, go buy it and I'll come look at it later? Sounds like an excuse to me. And I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Well, now, that's, you know, that's a little more logical. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Didn't say he hadn't seen them. He just didn't know how good they were. And I can understand somebody buying yoke oxen or buying a team of mules, but generally, you know, you'd want to have an idea what those things were before you ever bought them. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now, are you familiar, most of you here, with Elizabeth and Ray, that the name of their ministry is Highways and Hedges? And that's what they have set themselves to do, to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Now, why weren't they going to taste his supper? It's not necessarily because of anything that he felt negative about them. They weren't going to taste his supper because they just weren't going to be there. Now, don't Well, just listen. And hear the heart of what I'm saying. We're getting ready to do something this next weekend that we haven't done around here for a long time. We're getting ready to have special meetings with special people that are anointed of God. And there's going to be 5 services. Friday night, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. This is special. These people have given up their time to come and to be with us. Now, you know why we haven't been doing this? One of the reasons why we haven't had any meetings like this for an extended period of time, several years. Camp meeting's been, I don't remember the last camp meeting. I don't remember what the date of it was. But I know it's been close to 10 years. Was it 90? Okay. And it's been way more than 10 years. And the reason that we haven't had these kind of meetings is because, except for Sunday morning and a little bit on Sunday night, nobody seems to want to come. And I think it's probably because we're all like these people. We all have reasons. And what I'm challenging you, and I wrote a little bit about it in the bulletin, this is a special time for a special opportunity. And I'm encouraging you. You'll miss something if you can't be here. Now, I know that there's people that have to work and anything you can do about it. And there's other things that are going on. And there's always going to be other things going on. And we pick and choose what it is we want to do. And I remember talking to someone or making a statement, something like this, and I don't know, it seems it was a handful of people, it wasn't just one, and it wasn't, I don't think it was a service. Could have been, it's been several years ago. And anyway, after I said whatever it was I said, an individual came up and pretty much told me that, you know, there may be some people that feel like that they need to do this kind of thing, but there are those of us, you know, that Sunday morning's enough. And I thought, well, that's pretty straight. And I thought, well, you know, Sunday morning is enough. Sunday morning is enough. Okay. I kiss my wife once a month. That's enough. That's not true, but you see what I'm saying? What's that say? I don't need to kiss her anymore. I kissed her once a month. That'll be enough. Sunday morning's enough. And then there are those folks that once a month enough. And, you know, don't bother to plan anything special for me because I'm not going to be there. And you know, I want you to see what we're doing from the other side. We're not having this camp meeting because we need something to do. We don't have these special meetings just so we can be a part of something. There's a purpose. We have these people coming in because I know that Jim Childs and Connie, I know that Clifton Jerry Coulter, I know that Charles Gearhart, there will be a word from those people for this church. And there will be a word for whoever is here in the service that they're ministering in. I can promise you that. But what we have to do is we have to examine ourselves and see. And you know, and I feel like in some respects I'm preaching to the choir. Because a lot of the people that need to hear this didn't show up this morning. And the thing about it is, there's people that will just do what they do. And I'm not talking about not being here because you're somewhere else in another church or because you're involved with some other ministry. Of course, Ricardo's not here this morning because he's laid up at home nursing his aches and pains. But there's sometimes he's not here because he's singing somewhere else or he's ministering somewhere else. I understand that. And things we get involved in. But there are so many people in the body of Christ that it don't take anything to knock them off track. I mean, just, it's almost like I look for something to keep from having to do something rather than overcoming something in order to do it. If everything goes right and nothing else is happening, I'll go to church. I won't forsake the assembling of myself together as long as it doesn't cause me any problems. As long as I don't have to overcome anything. And I know there's been times over the last year, especially, that I haven't been here because I was overcoming something. But I also know that people tell you, and I guess it's true. See, I've never been there, so I don't know. But I assume it is because I can understand human nature. Well, after you've missed a while, it's just hard to get started back. And I can believe that. But like I said, I've never experienced it. The most I ever missed was last year when I had the open heart surgery. And when it was time to come back, buddy, I was ready. I was ready to come back before I ever got a chance to come back. And it's made a difference in my life and in my relationship with God. It's almost like being married to Laverne, but never really wanting to go on a date with her. She's my wife, and I'm married to her, but I don't really, it's just troublesome to go anywhere with her. Spending time with her, going here or there, because she's always going someplace I don't want to go. I don't like running through the mall and running through them stores. So I'm not going. But I made up my mind a long time ago. I love her and her company more than I hate prowling through stores. And so what I do is I tolerate the malls and the stores and all of that shopping experience. I tolerate it because I enjoy being with her. I don't go every time, and there are times when I say I'm not going. But the only reason I go is not because I get pleasure out of going, but I get pleasure out of being with her. And you know, a person shouldn't feel that way about coming into the Lord's house. If a person dreads going to church, they're going to the wrong church. And you say, well, I dread coming. Well, then you need to find a church you don't dread going to. But I know people that are not at this church now, and they talk to us all the time. Not the same person. But I don't know how many people have called us this past 2 weeks from way back just to tell us. Yeah, some of them 15, 20 years ago, just to tell us how much they appreciate us and what a difference it made in their lives the time that they were here. And then you think, then why are you somewhere else? But that's people. And we have our reasons. But I hope that that you will weigh out things, and the next weekend, I can promise you, you will be blessed if you show up. And like I said, you know, I may be preaching to the choir, but I'll say this. Some of the past meetings that we've had before we quit having them on Friday and Saturday night, and if you notice, like Brother Al, some of the others, they come in on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and that's about the extent of it, a couple of services. And but we've had people tell us how much they missed camp meeting and how they remember how what it was like. And I can remember, you know, well, why did we quit having it? Because people quit coming. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There was a time about 15 or 20 years ago when you couldn't find a spiritual animal like New Life anywhere around here close. It just wasn't around. And so we had a lot of Campbellsville folks coming here because there wasn't anything in Campbellsville. Columbia folks coming here because there wasn't anything in Columbia. Greene County folks coming. Russell County, we had a lot. We still got some from Russell County. We appreciate you. But a lot coming from Russell County because there wasn't anything else. There's nothing like us anywhere around. Now there's at least a dozen places. And a lot of them a whole lot closer to some of the people than we are. But we're all not the same even now. But there's a difference of choices. And some people have chosen this one, that one, and the other one, and whatever. And we still touch people's lives. But I saw the same thing happen down in Henderson County. When it was the sheep sheds, now New Covenant Church, when it was the sheep shed, there was nothing like it in the whole area down there in Evansville, Henderson. There was people that would drive regularly for an hour and a half to come to the services there because there wasn't anything else anywhere that had the flavor that it had and that the presence of God was there. And when we left down there to come back here, their Sunday morning services were 700-800. And then all at once, men all over the place down there that were part of that church and had been influenced with that church decided that God had told them to start their own. And so all over the Evansville area, these churches popped up. Good churches. We ministered in a lot of them. But what happened? Those people that were driving an hour, driving, you know, they're coming to, well, we don't need to do that now. And so then they started going to churches closer. And now instead of one church with 800, you got eight churches with 100. That may not be the exact ratio, but you see what I'm saying? There was one time we had 300 people in a service, in that room in there, and out in the hallway. But a lot of those people that were part of the church now are part of other churches that didn't exist at that time. And that's okay. As long as they're hearing the gospel. As long as they're being touched by the Spirit of God, which is what we desire here. And that's what we're given opportunity for this coming weekend. To have a saturated dose of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm encouraging you. Unless it's just absolutely impossible. If you set aside your week and you're here as much as you can be here in those five services, I'll tell you one thing. I know for a fact, you can write it down, God will speak to you. Yeah. And see, the whole purpose of what we're doing is to bless you. To bless you, to give you an opportunity to be saturated with the presence of the Spirit of God. It's not to give you something else to do. It's not to try to imply or impose upon you. But it's to bless you. But many times, you know, if somebody comes with a word from God for us, how are we going to get it if we're not here? So I challenge you. I exhort you. Think hard about whether or not you need to be here for the services next week. Do you believe you need to be here? I do. I believe I need to be here. And I believe you need to be here. Am I going to get mad at you if you don't come? Absolutely not. Is it going to change the way I feel about you? Absolutely not. Are you going to earn any brownie points if you come all five services? Probably not. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together and expecting the moving of God to be tremendous, not just for us, not just, well, let me put it this way, not just for me, but for us. And that's the way you need to view it too. This is not just for me, it's for us. It's for all of us. It's to do something in us as a church. Not just as a bunch of individuals, but as a church to better equip us to go into the highways and hedges. To allow something to happen where someone comes in here from someplace else, and we've had some people already asking us when it's going to be, we're going to come. And I just want us to be here when they come. But you know, it just got, and again, I'm just saying this to exhort us. I mean, it got to where, you know, we'd have Brother Al or somebody, he come all the way up here from Texas. We'd have him come up here and Friday night, and there'd be 25 in here. It just got to where I thought, hey, uh-uh. And so we just kind of settled down on everything, said, okay. So now we're trying again. We're giving everybody a shot at a blessed weekend. And like I said, when I started, I said, well, I'm probably not going to preach a sermon this morning. I'm just sharing my heart. And I hope you understand it in the spirit that I'm sharing it in, and that you don't go out of here with your nose wrinkled up or biting your lip saying, he shouldn't talk to me that way. I love you. I'm just concerned about the kingdom of God, and that's what we're part of. And we got to choose to be active in the kingdom. Let's stand. Now, I could open up the altars and give you all a chance to repent. But I'm not going to. Because when it comes right down to it, it's not between me and you, it's between you and God. And so you settle it with Him. Whatever He allows you to do, I'm all for it. He allows it, just go for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to